Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
We are back. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening tonight. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us in conversation, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain,
Steve Classic,
and Nikki.
Before we go on, I want to ask all of you listeners for a favor. I would like you to visit ariadimezzo.com, and on that page, she has instructions for how you can write to her, send her stuff, put money on her books, that kind of stuff. As you know, Aria is currently serving a prison sentence in federal prison.
Sentence.
For the crime of not having a license whilst selling cryptocurrency.
For the crime of no crime.
Right, yeah. No victims at all, period. So, and also, too, while your writing hand is out, while you've got your quill and your ink bottle, you can also... yeah, and your parchment. You can also visit freekeen.com, and there's a post there with some information on how to write to Mr. Ian Freeman, who is also currently kidnapped by the federal government. He has been convicted. He was sentenced, and now he's awaiting some sort of additional hearing for something about restitution.
Yeah, do we know when that is? Any word on that? I keep forgetting to ask Bonnie.
I want to say it's...
I feel like she's the gal to ask.
I want to say it's soon, but I don't know the exact date.
Because he's been in there for like a month already, yeah. Or more.
Yeah. I want to say it's soon, but I don't remember the date.
Yeah.
So we'll try and keep you all posted on when that is and make an announcement here on Free Talk Live.
Also, Aria is almost halfway done her prison sentence, factoring in the good time. Yep. So there's
good
some
good times.
There's some, even though she's not having a good time.
Yeah. Good time.
There's some sort of good time calculator that she has used,
right,
to
yeah.
kind of,
of course,
make an
yeah.
assumption.
GED, right? You get your GED,
so,
and then you can.
I think she already has one of those, right, so I don't think she...
Yeah, call her. The guy from Atlanta.
Yeah, you can get your GED in federal prison. And then you do all these other classes,
and
too.
And you get half your... You get time reduced.
Yep, from doing all these classes. And it's like all, like, dumb stuff. Like, I forget. She was telling me what classes she was taking, but they were all, like, sounded really stupid. And she's like, yeah, it's just a complete joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you just do it just so you can, you know, get out of there. Mm-hmm. But...
According to a Crypto 6 updates chat that I am in, somebody has copied and pasted, I think this is Mr. Penguin. Notice, the restitution hearing for Ian has been set for December 19th, 2023 at 10 a.m.
Really? December 19th?
Yep.
So he's staying in not Concord, wherever he is?
Merrimack? Yeah.
That's kind of a long time, because I guess while he's there, he doesn't get any of the good time.
No, I think he
does.
He does? Yeah, I think he does. He's still
Aria
a federal,
thought that he didn't for some reason.
He's still a federal prisoner.
Yeah, she said for some reason she thought that until he was, like, at the camp or wherever he's going, like, the actual federal establishment.
Maybe. She might know more than I do.
I don't know
sure.
where right. she got that information from. I don't know. But
she's probably studying it in one of her classes.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
You know? It's not uncommon for, you've ever heard of a jailhouse lawyer?
Yeah.
Right? It's not uncommon for a federal prisoner, particularly with a long sentence, to go to school within the prison system and become an attorney, pass the bar,
yeah.
right, all that kind of stuff.
Huh.
And then, you know, later on represent themselves in any, you know, ongoing,
yeah.
Like, appeals hearings and stuff
it
like that.
It doesn't seem like the people that she's with are doing that.
No, probably not.
I think most of them aren't really that sort of, you know, scholar
Oh, no.
But.
I shouldn't have looked at this.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, we were talking about the Chicago school system, who decided that just like that, by simply grading schools by the funding they receive instead of their actual performance, the CPS, that's their, you know, rating system, goes from one of the worst school districts in the United States to one of the best.
Just by how much money they get? That's
wait,
awesome.
It says if you grade these schools by funding, it's a different story, of course. Per student funding at Chicago Public Schools is now approaching, CPS stands for Chicago Public Schools. Per student funding at Chicago Public Schools is now approaching $30,000 per student. That's nearly double the national average of $14,347.
Yeah, so how does that make them better?
Well, they get more money.
Doesn't that make them worse?
Well, see, here's the problem. Chicago schools are getting rated poorly. So in order for them to discontinue being rated poorly, they're just going to stop rating them.
And just give them more money. And the more money they get, the better the school is. Right? Come on. That's the new fuzzy math.
That's what this is. Indeed, in this paradigm that has brought us failed bureaucratic education system, America sees today. More than 30 years ago, John Hood, the author and president of the John W. Pope Foundation, explained why government was wholly unsuited to teach America's students and predicted U.S. schools would continue to decline despite steadily increasing government spending. When every call for fundamental change in American education is rebutted not by arguments about student achievement, but by arguments focusing on race, class, social mixing, and other social concerns, it is difficult to imagine any real progress.
This is why people are homeschooling.
Oh, good. They do mention it. When teachers spend much of their day filling out forms, teaching quasi-academic subjects mandated from above, and boosting students' self-esteem as contrasted with self-respect, which is not earned rather than worked up, learning is difficult, if not impossible. Mr. Hood had gleaned the same truth the famous educator John Taylor Gatto had learned. Mr. Gatto, the teacher of the year in New York State in 1991, and... author,
God bless you,
of Dumbing Us Down. Sorry, there was a sneeze there for those of you not paying attention.
Dumbing Us Down. I want to read that.
Oh, John Taylor Gatto is one of my favorite people. He's dead now, sadly. But he is a multiple Teacher of the Year winner in the New York public school system. People would take him and drop him into a failing school system, and he would figure out how to teach the kids. Now, he didn't do it in the way government wanted you to do it. Right, he actually figured out how people learn and then just sort of allowed kids to pursue what they were interested in. And oh, guess
what? Wow, they did
better. They learned. They did better. Yeah, weird, huh? Mr. Gatto, Teacher of the Year in New York State, 91, and author of Dumbing Us Down, understood it wasn't bad teachers or lack of funds responsible for America's failing schools. It's the system itself, which is built on coercion, bureaucracy, and obedience, instead of actual learning, discovery, and collaboration with families. So
there says it right there.
There's more to this article. We'll post the whole thing for you up on our social website if you want to check it out. But we want to move on to, let's go with this from NBCConnecticut.com. Tiny homes built to house the homeless in New Haven are vacated due to code violations.
this story is, I mean...
And this isn't the first time we've heard this story. This is the first time we've heard it from this particular
city.
Yeah. But, like, this happens over and over
again.
Yeah. Some people go, oh, my gosh, there's a bunch of homeless people. Let's build them some homes.
Yeah.
Right? Right? A tiny home, a room, something. Right? Yeah. Let's put some shelter over these people at least, right? And then the state comes along and is like, no, 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 no. These are too small, or, you know.
Right.
And it's just crazy to be like, oh, code violations. Code violations? Yeah. They were homeless.
Right.
Does it matter if there's code?
Right.
They were living in a tent with, like, a heater in there before.
Yeah.
Like, how is...
A big lighter.
Like, you know what I mean?
A candle was heating them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, tiny homes are being built to house homeless people in New Haven, Connecticut. But they're being vacated because of code violations, according to city officials.
Officials. That's why I hate that word, officials.
Yeah. Also, I don't... when I'm not on the air and I say the word city officials, I...
LRN.FM.
That's a jump. That's a jump.
I said she.
Yeah, that's right. I dumped it.
I said fine. She talk live. I was still going to say she talk live.
She talk live.
Why did you baited me with that?
Perhaps I did.
Yes, you did.
In a letter from the New Haven Building Department, officials said an inspection of the 203 Rosette Street property revealed several code violations related to the construction of several pallet shelters. So I guess these tiny homes were built.
They don't look like they're built on pallets,
but maybe they were. Maybe they were built on pallets for easy moving, right? So in case the city came in and was like, "You can't be here," like, "Okay, we'll move them over here."
Yeah.
But no, instead they said, "Oh, you violated code. No home for you."
Also, like, what code? You know, it was clearly up to their code.
Officials say.
Officials. Quote, unquote, officials. Air quotes.
Yeah, officials say specific violations include solid fuel heating sources without smoke or CO2 detection, as well as the absence of sanitation or utility services, including electrical, mechanical, and plumbing, according to building official. So, they had a room, basically.
Right. Better than their tent.
Yeah.
Or a cardboard box.
Yeah. With, you know, an actual roof, right? You know, the wind's not going to blow it down, right? Nobody can huff and puff.
Well, they didn't get electricity, so they can't pay Eversource, their monthly bill.
The city notes that permits were not obtained.
The horror! No permits?
Oh, my gosh. To construct these homeless shelters, which are being built on behalf of a homeless advocate. People on the property were ordered to vacate immediately until proper permits are obtained and approval is granted.
Right. So how do you think homeless people are going to afford a permit? Like, that costs money, right? Like, all these, and building a home up to code and paying for the land, like, all this stuff. Like, all of those things cost money.
You can't have a home, Nikki, unless you've paid.
So what, they'll just die? I mean, like, that's the kind, you know?
This is the cold reality of what government is and what it does. Yeah. Yes, that's absolutely correct.
Get a permit. That's what's important.
Get a permit or die.
Right? Back to being, oh, you have a little home, you don't have a permit? Oh, back to being homeless.
Yeah. People on the property were ordered to vacate immediately until the proper permits are obtained and approval is granted.
Oh, granted.
A notice from the city's plan department. They just have one plan.
The plan department.
A notice from the city's plan department says there are concerns, quote, for the health and well-being of the city's most vulnerable residents.
Sure.
And so they're kicking them back out on the street.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is the thing, too. So, like, homelessness is an issue in many cities.
It is.
Right?
Yes.
So people like to come up, okay, you don't like the homeless people panhandling or whatever they do, trashing the woods. So people try to come up with ideas. How can we help them? How can we at the very least get them off the streets so we don't have to look at them?
Right.
And government gets in the way of every single solution.
Well, and they make it worse.
Well,
they create the problem.
Exactly.
They don't even offer a solution.
Yeah. Because none of these people would be homeless if they could just build themselves little huts.
I remember I was working some, you know, Joe job in the Seattle area, and I was looking for an affordable apartment for myself. And every time I would find one, I didn't qualify. Because
you didn't get the permit?
I made too much money.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right? I made too much money to be able to afford an affordable apartment.
It's tough being in that little middle spot where it's like
so many
you make too much money to get benefits, but you don't make enough money to survive.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And
that's why a lot of people don't work.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to just, like, you're better off not working and getting the benefits.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to work.
Part of the reason that I moved so often over my 22 years that I spent in the Seattle area, I think I moved 8 times, 9 times, something like that.
You have a lot of friends with vans and pickup trucks? Not anymore. That third move.
Ran out of pizza and beer.
Yeah.
But the reason that I moved so frequently was because what they call gentrification was happening all throughout Seattle, and that is, you know, somebody come
into the house or
somebody come into the neighborhood, you know, demolish some business and then build condos.
Right.
And so because they did that, all the rents in the area would go up immediately. And then I'm like, well, I can't afford this. I better find a new apartment. And so, like, it's weird that I ended up, like, in the city of Seattle itself as my last place that I had in that area, because it seemed like I had to get further and further away from the city to get cheaper and cheaper rent.
Really?
Right.
But going into the city
was prohibitively expensive. I got lucky on the last apartment that I rented. Me and the owner of the building just sort of hit it off. I was the first guy to come and see it after it was put up for rent, after he put the ad up. And I was like, I'll come over right now. He's like, well, I'm there right now. How long will it take you? I'll be there in 10 minutes, right? You know, and went over, and I was the first guy met. He is a he owns multiple properties in the Seattle, so, like, this is what he does, right?
Right.
And so I got to learn a few things from him about, you know, buying property and managing and, you know, what the margins are and what market price is and all that kind of fun stuff. So it was pretty cool in that respect. But he was like, this particular property was paid off a long time ago, so, you know, everything that I get from you is gravy. That's why the price is what it is.
Oh, that's right. Awesome.
And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And I'm like, I can afford it. And he's like, sweet, you know.
Now you're the property manager, too, on the weekends.
Well, yeah.
Get out there and cut the lawn.
Yeah, but, like, it was interesting that I ended up, like, in the city proper for the last apartment that I had in that area.
Which you think was the most expensive.
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah, yeah. It was small, right? It wasn't, you know, I don't know, it was probably maybe 500 square feet, if that, right? So, but, you know, for one bedroom in the city, that was, you know, and we're talking, like, I think it was $1,200 or something, you know, for one bedroom, which is, like, you can't even get a studio for $1,200 now in any big city, really, if you think about it. And if you can, get it.
Yeah, like, in New Haven, forget it. You know?
Yeah.
That's why they're all homeless.
We talked about the notice for the health and well-being of the city's most vulnerable residents. We must kick them out of these tiny homes where they could see an increase in their health and well-being by simply having a place to go.
I mean, that is just the ultimate government stupidity right there.
I mean, they were kind of asking for it because they should have just got the permit.
This final sentence of this article says, officials said they need the shelters that have already been built to be taken down. They are also ordering any further construction to stop until further notice.
I mean,
it's crazy.
Your benevolent government.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
just here to help.
You're trying to help some people. Like, I'm sure these homeless people are like, yeah, please let me in. Right? May I please have one of these tiny homes to sleep in? You know?
Right.
I'm sure.
Nope. Destroy them.
Yeah. No. Not only kick them out and give them nowhere to go, put them on the street, right, making the problem worse, right, but then destroy the things that were built instead of just figuring out, hey, what do they need to do, you know, oh, can they just, you know, because it's a temporary thing, you know, figuring out what they need to do to make it conform with
code. Yeah, no, and that's, you know? And that's a big government, like, bureaucracy thing where they get so butthurt that these people didn't ask for permission in the first place. That there's nothing you can do to fix it. The only solution that they will accept is you have to tear this thing down, then ask for permission, and then rebuild it. Because it's too late. You already, you know, peeved them off.
Right. Contribute to the mayor's campaign, and we'll see if we can get that done.
Yeah. So, government, thanks, but no thanks. You're not doing humanitarian work, and I wish...
Yeah, thanks for ruining everything and making everything worse. Appreciate you.
There are so many people who feel that, you know, the tax money that is taken from them, you don't pay it, they take it from you.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people who feel that that's some sort of charity work. Oh, we have people for that. We have people for that, right? Mm. Well, I pay my taxes because I care about the homeless, Steve. Oh, really? You care about the homeless? That's why you pay taxes? Take a look at what your taxes do for the homeless. They do that. They kick them out.
Right.
They make
tear
them,
it down.
Tear it down and, like, make the problem. If they exacerbate the problem, they make it worse.
Right. They created the problem. They can't even give you a solution. Well, maybe they can keep throwing more money at it.
It's ridiculous. It's goddamn ridiculous is what it is. All right, at any rate, there's something, I think it's called, like, the Big Mac Index. There's a financial term where, like, They use the price of a Big Mac to sort of, you know, as a barometer to see how's the economy doing, right? This from the New York Post.
The most American thing I've ever heard.
Right, yeah, the Big Mac indicator. Right.
It's
right?
not the stock market that talks about the economy. It's the price of a Big Mac.
Oh my gosh.
The cost of a Big Mac.
Continue.
So
that's another Connecticut story, I think.
Is it?
This is our
We're having a big Connecticut day. This is a hat trick
for the Connecticut stories.
I wonder if it's because somebody who gave us this show prep is a former Connecticuter.
Connecticut.
Well, some of mine were Connecticut, too.
Connecticutters?
I'm a New Englander, though.
They're like Connecticut people are called nutmeggers.
Wow.
Nutmeggers.
Why?
I don't know. So it's called the nutmeg state.
Yeah.
It's a land of steady habits.
Really called the nutmeg state?
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry, I'm lost here.
So we had the mushroom guy in Burlington, Connecticut. We got the New Haven, Connecticut tiny house thing. And then the Big Mac story originated out of Darien, which is near Stamford. Right on the 95 corridor.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The $18 Big Macs.
Oh, yeah. So
He's recapping for us.
Can't recap something that hasn't been said first.
I'm precapping.
Precapping. Yes, there you go.
Precapping the story.
Well, now the captain's going to post-cap. This from NewYorkPost.com.
The New York Compost.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. McDonald's revenue soars as it hikes menu prices. $18 Big Macs.
That's inflation.
So this is interesting because people always say, oh, I would eat healthy, but it's so expensive. But you're going to pay $18. I mean, you can go to a restaurant and get an $18 burger.
You can.
You know what I mean? Like, obviously, and to me, like, that's still expensive. You just be able to go to a burger, get a burger for like $10 or whatever. But
Big Mac,
a Big Mac, you can go to the grocery store right now, get the cheapest ground beef, you know, get a thing about, you know, like you can make 10 of these for $18 or more, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's too expensive. I have to eat McDonald's because I'm poor. Yeah, you're probably eating McDonald's because you're addicted to it.
Right.
It's fine. Just go to rehab and, you know, eat some broccoli and steak or whatever.
McDonald's on Monday reported that its revenue was up 14% in the latest quarter. A surge, the burger giant said, was driven by strategic menu price increases. We'll find out more about the Golden Arches, their price hikes, and what it means to you coming up still tonight here on Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Ukraine's ambassador to the United Nations, Oksana Markarova, expressed her concern that the Israel-Hamas conflict is diverting attention from Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
This war on terror has to be won everywhere, and that we cannot afford to lose focus in one place or another.
During an appearance on CBS's Face the Nation, Markarova discussed how Russia is assisting Hamas while receiving support from Iran and North Korea. Former President Trump, speaking at the Florida Freedom Summit, pledged that if reelected, he would establish a missile defense shield to safeguard the U.S. from the threat of World War III while emphasizing a commitment to put America first. A 63-foot Norway spruce from West Virginia's Allegheny Mountains is en route to the U.S. Capitol's West Lawn for the 2023 Christmas tree. Dave Collins, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's the final segment of this Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live, in case you're wondering
the heck
you're
listening to. What this is.
Yeah. What am I? My radio is doing weird things. No. We are doing the weird things.
Sing along.
Yes. Your radio's fine. It's us that are weird. The telephone number, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Steve McClassic.
And McKinnicky.
Captain McKickass.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Golden Arches, we've been talking about this story from the New York Post. McDonald's revenues soar as it hikes menu prices. $18 Big Macs.
That's kind of funny. When you say revenues soar, it makes it seem like they're selling more, but they're not. They just increased all their
same,
prices.
Yeah.
If anything, they're selling less, probably.
But the revenue is soaring.
The revenue is soaring.
Yeah,
that or they're sore from all the revenue they've been, you know. Anyway. McDonald's on Monday reported that its revenue was up 14%. The Golden Arches brought in a total of $6.69 billion in revenue for the three-month period ending September 30th, beating expectations of $6.58 billion, according to Refinitiv Analysis.
What is that?
See, now, I thought McDonald's made money on the land that the restaurants are on.
Why? Because of the franchise?
The franchising. They make money on franchising, not the food.
So I think, I don't know if that's true or not. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
That, like, it's not about selling the food. It's about renting out or leasing out or selling franchises.
Well, and then the people that own the franchise make the money from the food?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
So if they stay in business,
I guess that'd be how that works, right?
Yeah, I think it's like they're a real estate company.
Well, I mean, to an extent, any franchise is that.
Yeah, that's kind of how that works.
That's how franchising works.
Right.
You're a guy, you're an entrepreneur, you want to open a thing, but you know, you don't want to spend the time establishing your own marketing, your own branding, right, all that kind of stuff.
Right, so you got a big corporation
You partner with a franchisee because they already have all that stuff. Now, they loan you some money. You put some money down. They loan you some money to get your own thing up and running, but you use all of their branding and advertisement and all that kind of stuff, and then you split the...
Split the revenues.
The profits.
Well, do you think they're upping... They must be upping the price of the Big Mac based on...
Well, let's find out, shall we?
The captain continues.
The Golden Arches brought, we already said that. However, McDonald's, which has 13,513 restaurants in the U.S. and over 38,000 abroad. Wow. McDonald's has more restaurants abroad than they do in the U.S. That's interesting. They did not disclose how much the franchisor has increased its prices, which generally vary between locations. One branch in Darien, Connecticut, charged as much as
$18.
$18 for a Big Mac.
Wow.
Let's be clear, not just for the sandwich, it was for the combo meal, which includes a medium fry and a medium soft drink.
Wow.
How much do fries cost?
You get 35 $2? French fries.
Yeah, no, and potatoes are cheap.
Right, and a 5 cent drink.
And the way they do it.
And their vegetable oil. Yeah. Yuck.
Meanwhile, the same Big Mac combo will run a hungry patron's $13.69 at a McDonald's in Times Square, New York.
What? How many? What number did you say? How much?
$13.69.
Okay.
Plus
$10 and 69 cents.
I mean, that's probably how much
in
it
Times
is
Bay.
In Key. I wonder how much does a. Let me. I'll do some field research. Hang on.
If ask only the there were a device with you which you could look these things up. If only it was square, a magic rectangle.
Technically, it's not square.
That's why I said magic rectangle. At any rate, while you're doing that, let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. We've got Major Payne calling from Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
As far as the McDonald's thing goes, they not only make money off the rental to the franchisee, they got the same deal going at Domino's does. You got to buy all your products from them.
Right.
So that's
which I believe is what Sysco, S-Y-S-C-O. I think that's the McDonald's.
Yeah, you can't buy from a competitive
it's
one source supplier.
Yeah, right.
They've got their own farms and bakeries and distribution units, you know, throughout the damn country. So
Hey, I just figured out that the person we're talking to on the phone is Mayor McPain or Major McPain.
Major McPain.
Yeah, Major McPain.
McMajor.
Welcome to the McShow, Major.
I used to be the Hamburglar, and then I broke out.
All right, so what else did you want to say?
Oh, I got something on your number two story.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Be careful now.
He's like he had a hollow leg. And he had a bad habit of not taking a dump but every other day.
Okay.
So we used to make jokes that he was the last Irish lager because he produced his own. But we had, they didn't have what we call the poo knife, but we just took a good stiff coat hanger and grab it by the hook and grab it in the middle of the flat spot and pull it.
You mean
make it into a big long kind of hoop thing, and it made a dandy turd cutter.
You mean
a
Mick cutter.
You know, I've heard of this before where doctors will, like, prescribe, like, if their patient's really constipated, they're like, get a small McDonald's fry. And then, you know, the patient's like, what are you talking about? You're a doctor. You're supposed to tell me not to eat McDonald's.
Right.
And they're like, no, you know, nothing's worth. Miralax, Senna, all these things, Dukalax, nothing's worked for you. Castor oil. Go get a McDonald's fry.
Really?
And then they call him back and they're like, oh my gosh, you won't believe it.
Just blew me right out. Huh?
Really?
I've heard three people tell me this.
McDonald's fries as colon blow.
That's That's what my sources tell me.
Now, I ate a whole bunch of McFood growing up, right? Like, the McMenu, like, particularly the dollar menu, was, like, my go-to in my teens and 20s.
Were you regular?
You know, very. Yeah.
Exactly.
But, like, not excessive.
No, not excessive. But, like, it's regular.
Wow.
So you have to go there for lunch every day, and then in the morning, those french fries will do it.
Yeah,
and then in a few years, you'll have a heart attack.
Yeah.
We did. A friend of mine, when he turned 28, he was a big fan of the McCheeseburger. And so when he turned 28, me and my other friend went to McDonald's, and we bought him 28 cheeseburgers.
Wow.
That was when they were a dollar, though, right?
Yeah, they were less than that. They were the $49.59.
That's before my time.
49-cent hamburgers, 59-cent cheeseburgers. Jeez. And so we bought him 28 and then bought him a keg of ketchup because he loved to dip his burgers in Heinz ketchup or whatever, whatever, Hunt's Heinz, whoever makes the Keg-O ketchup.
Right.
And
he ate 28 of
well,
those?
Well, to his credit or discredit, I'm not sure. First of all, he was very thankful because he's like, dude, I love McDonald's. Oh, and you got a keg of ketchup, too. Awesome. Right? He wasn't the healthiest person.
Yeah, clearly.
But what he did is he ate several of them. Right?
He ate 27 of them.
I think he ate like six or something like that, you know, and dipping them in the ketchup. But then he got some of these Ziploc bags and started putting two of them in and chucked them in the freezer. And then he would just sort of like, you know, in the morning, set one out, and then when he got home from work or whatever, he would take the patty off, make the patty only, right, and then put it back into the bun, right, and then enjoy, dip his burger in the ketchup.
I did some research. Big Mac meal.
I'm sorry, you did some McResearch.
McResearch, yeah.
What did you McFind?
$14.39.
In Keene, New Hampshire.
For a Big Mac combo meal. And then the regular Big Mac is $8.19.
Wow.
Double cheeseburgers, $5.79.
Wait.
The quarter pounder meal is more. Oh, that's a deluxe meal. The double quarter cheese deluxe meal is $16.89.
Wow. What's the difference between a combo meal and a deluxe combo meal?
I'm assuming maybe it's just large instead of medium.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You get lettuce. Maybe lettuce
you
tomato.
Do?
I don't think you get that on a quarter pounder. It's just
spicy McCrispy, $7.89.
All right, let's stop Mick advertising for these guys. McMajor?
You remember when they used to say, would you like that supersize?
They can't do that anymore. Did you ever?
Yeah, you can get large fries and a large Coke for like an extra quarter or some damn thing. Potatoes don't cost nothing. Carbonated water don't cost nothing.
Right.
Cokes are hardly cost anything. I mean, that's where they make their big money on.
Oh, definitely.
Soda.
Beef products. Yeah. Well, they don't lose it, obviously, with $8 Big Macs.
Yeah. A
couple of 8 pounds of burgers.
They made a documentary, Super Size Me, where the dude, I forget for how long.
He ate it for a month, I think.
Yeah, something like that. For
all three meals.
And also, McDonald's reuses their Fry-Later grease to make biodiesel for their truck.
Oh, that's cool.
It's kind of a cool thing.
That actually is cool.
Yeah.
No, there's people who have converted, like, Volkswagen.
Yeah, a friend of mine had one. Volkswagen. Used to get the Chinese food.
Yeah,
and they run around trying to gather up, used grease from mom-and-pop restaurants or whatever. Yeah. And, like, if you drive behind one of these, it does smell
delicious.
It does smell.
It's the start of the thing up. It smells like a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, or French fries or something. Yeah.
I don't remember who it was, but somebody I knew once upon a time had an old International Scout, an old four-cylinder.
Yeah.
And it was converted over to run on vegetable oil or, donut grease or whatever. So they were always looking for a grease vat to go drain, and it would smell like donuts or French fries.
Whatever happened to be cooked in the grease. Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Hey, Major, thanks for the call. We appreciate you, brother. Moving right along, let's go to, I believe this is David calling. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, how are you? It's funny. I was big into biodiesel there a few years ago, and I thought McDonald's grease had some weird additive that made biodiesel bad for it.
It might.
It might have been too much sugars. It might have been the sugars in the grease.
Maybe they did that just so that only McDonald's could recycle it and use it only in their vehicles.
Because do they do that present day? where they're using the biodiesel?
I have no idea.
I just heard about that.
Yeah, I haven't kept up with it, so it's possible that they've changed the formula.
I'll ask
the
magic rectangle.
Saying, maybe for their own fleet, that they've done it for that. Because out here in San Francisco, and this is what, 15, maybe even 20 years ago, our buses, I don't know that any of our buses run on petroleum diesel. Almost all of them are biodiesel. San Francisco's famous for having so many restaurants. I think we've got like 20,000 restaurants. And all of that grease, since we're a peninsula, we can't we don't have the landfill to be able to just dump in it. We have to pay extra to haul it, you know, 50 miles or whatever. So the city was encouraged to develop biodiesel so that the fleet of buses would be able to, you know, help balance the budget, so to speak.
Right.
You know, the reason I called, though, you know, in the last, and maybe I'll tie it to what you were just talking about with the price of a hamburger. Out here in San Francisco, I work down in the convention center, and the, you know, since that's the high tourist area, hamburgers are very expensive. Probably a $17 burger is about normal for one of the chains down there. But you can get a $10 one that is far superior. It's organic beef, and it's about $10, and it might have, with tax, it might come to 11 or 12 bucks. But
you mean theft?
It's pretty insane. And to imagine that a fast food joint would pretend that $17 or even $14 is normal for out in the middle of the country. I mean, we're talking about the tourist area here, not, you know, it's famous for gigging the tourists. And, you know, to imagine that McDonald's thinks that it can pretend that it can justify a $14 burger. But it crossed my mind that if this call for raising the minimum wage has, you know, justified McDonald's to do a sort of a self-sabotage, to pretend that they have to pay a $15 an hour minimum wage, which justifies a $17 hamburger, well, I can one up them even better. I'm baby boom. In 1968, it took you exactly 20 hours at minimum wage to buy 1 ounce of gold. The ounce of gold was $1.60, the minimum wage was $1.60,
right.
And the ounce of gold was $32.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's exactly 20 hours. Now, if you were to look at the ounce of gold today, it's right at $1,000.
$2,000.
Which would put the minimum wage at $100.
Wow.
Not $15.
Right, yeah.
So, if McDonald's thinks that they can play games with the price of a hamburger just to force the issue on a minimum wage.
Yeah, I don't know that they're blaming minimum wage for this rate increase. I don't know that they're not. We haven't gotten through the whole article, but it's an interesting perspective for sure. I know that inflation certainly is killing, well, just about everybody. You know, when I shop, a significant increase in the cost of groceries has been noticed by me since I moved to New Hampshire year over year. Things just keep going up. And then, of course, I notice what they call shrinkflation.
Right.
Right, where they, like, sell you a package that looks about the same size as what you normally buy, but it's got less product in it.
I wonder how much that Big Mac probably 20 years ago was probably bigger. It's called Small Mac now, or the less Big Mac.
Well, they've gone through different shapes and sizes, but yeah, I mean, they were relative. And as a matter of fact, I think I remember the hamburgers of McDonald's, and I remember one of the first chains in St. Louis, which is where I'm from. I think it was 12 cents. For a standard hamburger. The White Castles were 5 cents, and they went up to 7 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And McDonald's started at 12 cents. That was actually at a time when it wasn't billions sold, it was hundreds of thousands sold.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
So I can remember early McDonald's.
You might remember this, David. There was a period of time when Burger King wanted to compete with McDonald's Quarter Pounder with cheese. And so, I think it was Burger King anyway. I'm pretty sure it was.
Hardee's, maybe?
No, I'm pretty sure it was Burger King. But anyway, you know, the Quarter Pounder with cheese was selling like gangbusters. And so Burger King was like, we got to compete with that. Let's make our burger bigger. And so they went ahead and did that. And they released the one-third pounder. And nobody bought it.
Oh, right, yeah.
And nobody bought it because everybody thought that the Quarter Pounder was bigger than a one-third pounder.
They probably all went to the Chicago school district, probably. That's Chicago math.
This has been brought to you by the U.S. public school systems.
Chicago
math. Fractions are your friends.
David?
Well, in any case, yeah, just that cost of living is a big issue. It really should be $100 an hour minimum wage in order to be able to buy a house. And when you think about it, I don't know if you're keeping up with this Trump New York fraud trial, but you know, part of the issue out here in San Francisco of rent, you know, it's gotten so bad that it's up to $6,000 a month just to be able to rent a one-bedroom apartment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's not a studio, a one-bedroom.
Right.
And when you start looking at the $100 an hour minimum wage just to be able to afford a thing like that, that sort of makes sense. Although, when you start looking at Trump fraud, he has forced the fraud of jacking up the value of land so high that nobody, including insurance companies, can afford to allow people.
I don't know. You can blame that like on one guy. Like it's Trump's fault. That no, it's a combination of the Federal Reserve and the federal government. Keep listening, David, because I have something to say about the cost of housing. But thank you for the call. For the first time in history, you need to make six figures to afford a house in the U.S.
Yeah, pretty much.
The annual income needed to afford a house is now $111,000 per year, according to Reventure.
Is that to purchase or to rent?
To purchase a home.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so you need...
Meanwhile, the
median household income in the U.S. is just $78,000, 30% below the threshold needed to buy a house. Just 3 years ago, in 2020, when I bought my house, you only needed $60,000 of annual income to afford a house.
What inflation?
In other words, the income required to own a home has risen by 85% in just 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you literally, and I'm speaking to our local area, so like New Hampshire and surrounding states, right? You can't find a house under $250,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not like a move-in ready house.
So
if you're using an FHA loan, right, you have to meet these certain requirements.
Yep. You got to qualify.
You got to qualify. Yeah, the house has to qualify, right?
Right.
So
you got to qualify. House got to qualify, right? The seller has to qualify.
Everybody has to qualify, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good luck if you don't at least make $100,000.
So the income required to own a home has risen by 85% in just 3 years.
That's insane.
The gap between median income and the income needed to afford a house is 25% larger than it was in 2008.
Yeah.
So back in 2008, when everybody was all like freaking out about like, all the real estate and, you know, all these, anybody can buy a home, right? And all
the funny
things that they did with, you know, chopping up
five
mortgages
and all that kind of stuff. Security, so.
It's actually 25% larger gap between median income and the income needed to buy a home.
Wow. Thanks for the good news, Captain.
I know. That kind of makes me feel like a baller right now. I'm like,
got it under the radar.
But no, that actually is absolutely terrible. That's so awful.
So moving back to the Mick article, though he didn't specify how much, Borden, who's the CFO of McDonald's, said McDonald's expects to increase the cost of its menu items by just over 10% for the full year. The second consecutive annual 10% price hike.
Wow, so that burger's going to cost another $1.80 next year, that Big Mac, huh?
Yeah, so 14 would be $16 burger.
$19.80.
The 18 would be $20.
It would be $20 right. Big Mac.
$20. 20 wow. is the new 5, people.
That's right. 2 is the new 1.
Yeah, I remember, man, like, you know, if your friend had a car and you didn't, you'd be like, dude, can I give you $5 for gas? You can run me over to this thing so I can go pick up a thing or whatever. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure, man.
Yeah.
Right? And now it's like, hey, man, can I give you $20 for gas because I got to run? And you're like, $20's a little low. I might need 40. Right?
And that was recently, too. The $5 for gas was like 5 years ago. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're not talking about, like, oh, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, this was, like, when I was in high school.
I mean,
it was, like,
I kind
$5
of am when, like, you know, gas was, like, a dollar, you know, 89 cents, right? $5 went a long way. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, $20.
California, it's, like, $7 and some change.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, well, if you had a Tesla, you wouldn't have to buy gasoline, okay?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but, like, I already can't afford a car payment.
Or you could use biodiesel like McDonald's. So McDonald's does use, it says they use cooking oil from their kitchens into biodiesel. They turn it into biodiesel, which is then used to fuel around 42% of their delivery fleet.
That's pretty cool.
So I think that's it, you know. I mean, where would that grease go anyway?
Yeah, I mean.
Where does it go after?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess does it evaporate? I'm like, wait, where does gasoline
it's
go?
It's burnt up. Yeah.
Incinerate the...
Transduced from liquid to gas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, during an earnings call with the investors, CFO Ian Borden confirmed that the company's U.S. prices did increase in the third quarter. Meanwhile, many consumers have said that fast food has already gotten so expensive, it's no longer worth it. One Reddit user asked the now rival threat in a now viral thread, what is no longer worth it because of how expensive it has become? The top-rated response, most fast food.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? The employees who are making minimum wage will be replaced by robots.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll be able to lower their prices because, you can go to the robot McDonald's and get a $12 Big Mac.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they should. No one wants to work there anyways. I mean, all these, like, fast food places around Keene and, like, a lot of other cities, they don't, well, I mean, this is a college town, and even, like, the college students don't want to work there. They're, like, too good for it.
The article goes on to say, a value meal at McDonald's now costs just as much as a meal at a lot of sit-down restaurants, such as Applebee's, one user claimed. Remember when McMuffins were 2 for $3, another user recalled?
Man, the good old days.
We are out of time. Thank you to all of our callers, all of our listeners. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Steve Classic,
for joining
me. You're welcome. If you missed any part of tonight's broadcast, please visit freetalklive.com and find the archives for a full repeat of the show. Thanks, and peace.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.